Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Happy Thanksgiving, Mikey.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lab.
And happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. Maybe getting a little Steelers fix here before sitting down for the, I don't know, how many times do you eat today? I mean, I know it's like one meal, but you go at it once and then there's a little bit of, and then you got to go at it again.
Well, yeah, there's nap time.
For the sandwich, you know.
But yeah, there's definitely a round two. And then I'm traveling this year, not far, but traveling. Yeah. So when I finally get back to the palatial export estate, I will also raid the fridge there.
There you go.
Just because.
Just
because,
I mean, you know.
Because that'll make it easier to fall asleep in my lazy boy watching something that I've seen
lazy boy
15 times already.
Thursday night. You got your tonight's game is New England against those football Jets.
Yeah, I might find something better to do than watch the Jets.
Maybe the Godfather will be on.
I'll be watching a lot of football before that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, you know, let's get to the marquee matchup of the weekend, Pittsburgh-Cleveland, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Labs, the way these the schedule maker had a sense of humor on this one, because the Steelers wore their throwback uniforms in the previous game against Baltimore, and in this one, the Browns will be wearing the Ravens' throwback uniforms.
Yes, they will. And how about just the uniforms? And I know you have a...
I thought I'd get a little guffaw out of you on that one.
Oh, I mean, that's... It's a very very well-placed observation on your part.
Thought I set that up well, too. You know, you probably thought I was going to make...
No,
serious,
I knew where you were.
Insightful
going.
Point.
Yeah, a serious. we were gonna change from the normal and start getting serious and insightful on this program. Nah, let's not do that.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. The uniforms. Did you see some of the Browns players advocating a change? Change the helmet. They're because of the new owner.
I did not see that.
Yeah, there's some groundswell in the locker room to, hey, you know, let's modernize these. I think that would be a shame.
So do
personally.
I.
You know, there are some iconic uniforms in this league, the Steelers, the Packers, the Football Giants. They messed around with their logo a little bit, but now they're back. They came back.
Browns.
The Browns. Well, yeah, I was trying to think of some other ones. The
Packers.
Browns. I said them. The Bears. You know, don't mess with.
49ers, maybe.
It's been pretty close to the same. Yeah, I mean, you know, some they all.
Eagles.
Well, the Eagles. No, the Eagles. I mean, they've stuck with the wings, but you know, they went with white with helmets with green wings, and then green helmets with silver wings, and you know, they've changed a little bit, but yeah, you're
too many
you're,
off shades of green.
Yeah,
too.
you're in the right neighborhood there.
The old Eagles when they stunk, when they had the white pants, the green jerseys, and the white helmets with the green wings.
Yeah,
those were sharp uniforms. Green and white. What else do you need?
A little bit in their official colors though. There's a little silver and or gray too. Is there not? I think. That in there, you know, when you look at their, yeah.
Perhaps.
But anyway, okay, Steelers-Browns, I don't know. This game makes me nervous, and it has nothing to do with that, you know, the so-called trap game concept, this one coming between the two games against the Ravens. I'm not worried about it because of that. I'm worried about, I think this Browns team, you know, plays hard enough and is good enough that, if not taken seriously enough, they can beat you.
No question. I mean, this is a representative team. People that have been clicking onto this program all season, I started talking about these guys a while back. Look what they've done in the division. Forget 2-8 for a second. Played at Cincinnati September the 16th, lost 34-27. Played at Baltimore September the 27th, lost 23-16. In the last couple plays, they were lobbing passes into the Ravens' end zone from about the 30-yard line. Beat the Bengals on October the 14th at home, 34-24. Lost to the Ravens on November the 4th at home, 25-15. These were all games that could have gone either way.
And really lost at Indy, which is not an easy place to play, 17-13, too. It's not like, you know, the great Andrew Luck tore them up. And hung on and beat San Diego 7-6. You know, 6 points for Philip Whiskey Rivers. You know, that's a representative thing, too. Their game against Dallas, I thought they had some opportunities to win. Maybe they got hosed a little bit by the Zebras, but, hey, you can expect that down there. They are a team that, you know, we can make fun of them like we like to because they do live in Cleveland, and, you know, that's just part of it. But also, they are tough. They will play physically. They're not very good in the red zone, and they're not very good in the time of an NFL game. Usually it's in the fourth quarter of a close game when the team that knows how to win will do some things in order to make that happen, and the team that doesn't know how to win will almost win. And what do they call that again?
Losing.
And that's how you end up 2-8. But, you know, the Steelers have won 16 of the last 17. I would imagine the guys in the brown shirts are a little tired of that. As well. So there could be a little bit of incentive here working for the Browns, and the Steelers are down to their third quarterback. I mean, people can, be hopeful for what Charlie Batch, you know, can bring to this team. They can speculate on what kind of fit he is necessarily for the offensive scheme that the Steelers now use and all of that stuff. But the fact remains that he is the third quarterback on this team and therefore the third best quarterback on this team. There is no other politics or anything else like that going on when these kind of things are ranked. The depth chart is made up. So the Steelers are down to their third quarterback. They've beaten the Browns 16 in the last 17, and this Cleveland team isn't the slappy bunch that you go up there and beat 41-0 and you're body slamming their fans into the turf when they run out onto the field. This is not going to be that kind of game.
No, this should be a physical game. This should be a who can run the ball game, who can make plays when the game is hanging in the balance. Similar to what the Steelers just went through against Baltimore, right down to return man extraordinaire Josh Cribbs. This is a team that can threaten you in the kicking game and can make plays, as the Steelers well know. What was Mike Tomlin's line? We've been dead Indians
in his cowboy movie
too many times.
Yeah.
It's going to take all three phases. I think, what did you say last week? It's going to take everybody in a helmet and a headset.
Yes.
Getting it done at the line or above level. Same challenge.
Kicking in a little bit more. You know, one of the things, and in our last installment, I just want to clarify something that I said. You know, when I find out that I am either misguided or wrong, it happens so infrequently, I do like to clarify and or correct myself. You know, I was critical of the play calling, not giving the ball to Jonathan Dwyer enough. Upon further review, I understand that Jonathan Dwyer was tapping himself out of that game fairly regularly, and that disturbs me. You need to be in shape. I mean, you know, you're taking yourself out. He only carried 12 times. If he had 33 carries and was taking himself out, okay, I'm listening. But, you know, it was a game where we kind of knew, or we thought we knew what the Steelers needed to do in order to beat the Ravens, and one of those things was run the football. So to have a back – only able to carry the ball 12 times, that's unsatisfactory to me. So, my moaning about the distribution of labor for the running game was misdirected. I certainly hope that maybe this week Jonathan Dwyer has done a little bit more running or whatever is necessary to be able to stay in the game more often, because I really do believe that at this point, especially with Isaac Redman's status kind of up in the air following the concussion last week against the Ravens, he is their best running back because Mendenhall isn't in sync yet after missing so many games with the Achilles, and then before that rehab in his knee. So the Steelers need Jonathan Dwyer, and they need him on the field. And I hope that he is able to give them what they need a little bit better this week than he did last week.
I hope if I'm ever wrong, I can handle it as well as you just did.
Well, you notice I never said I was wrong. You said I was wrong. I said it needed clarified. My wife taught me that.
It's not bad.
But anyway.
Mendenhall, by the way, and I'm starting to resign myself to maybe never getting to see this, but when you watch the way the Browns use Trent Richardson.
I was just going to say
on
that,
Sunday,
too.
That's what I envisioned for Rashard Mendenhall at the start of this season, given the circumstances of Todd Haley coming here and what the Steelers had on the offensive line and his abilities and what he might be able to do in the NFL as opposed to what he did in college. Trent Richardson's fun to watch. He makes catches in the flat, makes the first guy miss almost every time, moves the chains, sticks it up in there like an Alabama running back is supposed to, keeps coming, falls forward, takes more than one guy to get him on the ground usually. The Browns got it right in the draft. I don't know where that franchise is headed in the offseason because of the ownership change, but you look at this lineup, five rookies starting and two others playing significant roles on defense.
So you like the quarterback is the one I was going to ask. You said they got it right in the draft. I don't disagree. The one thing to me, though, is if they missed on the quarterback, that could set them back.
It could. He's fine. They just got to get some weaponry that can.
Hopefully he's not 40 years old by the time they get that accomplished.
And
that's not his fault.
They got a couple guys, Gordon and Little, are good players who are going to get better. They're young players. They don't have enough of them at that position. That's pretty much where it starts and ends, at least from what I can tell. They still can't really get Joshua Cribbs involved in anything but special teams. Mohamed Massaqua, arrow seems to be pointing down on him. But Greg Little stopped dropping everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that big, perfect wide receiver body, and now he's starting to catch it with his hands. And Josh Gordon, a supplemental round pick, is flashier, a little more speed, a little more explosiveness. But it looked to me in the Dallas game that they had a hard time separating a lot of the time. And Brandon Whedon had a lot of time in that game, but a lot of times he had nowhere to go with the ball.
Flipping it over on to the Browns defense, you know, they're another one of these teams that the Steelers seem to be facing a lot this season with a fairly deep and talented defensive line. They will rush four primarily, and they believe they can get there. And you know, if you look at their sacks, one, two, three of their top four sacks got. Well, they have four guys tied with three sacks apiece. Three of them are defensive linemen. So, you know, I like that. I think that's a good place to start for a defense. You're trying to build a defense. You know, again, they may be lacking a little bit on the defensive side in terms of playmakers on the back end. You mentioned, you know, the receivers are young, coming, maybe you hope. I think that's kind of the way you can describe, you know, their secondary as well. Sheldon Brown is a veteran. He's probably closer to the end of his career than the beginning. He's a guy whose skills, in my mind, have disintegrated enough where he gets a lot of penalties, a lot of penalties.
You know, if he covered Plex, that would have been a great matchup 6 years ago.
That's exactly what I mean.
If it ends up happening Sunday.
Yeah.
Be like old timers day. yeah, he gets a lot of penalties, and the guy across from him with Joe Hayden out against Dallas, Buster Skrine, had three of them.
Yeah.
And he could have had six or seven. You know, the Cleveland defense had 10 penalties in regulation that produced first downs for Dallas in that game. This is how you come from ahead 13-0 and lose in overtime.
And the Browns have had some leads, too. They had a lead against the Dallas. They had a big lead against the football Giants. Squandered both of those. But again, I mean, there have been times, you know, you ride in the bus to Cleveland and easy to fall asleep. You have no worries about what's going to happen when you get there. I'm not quite so sure this time. I do think it's going to be a battle and not necessarily one of those tune-up kind of situations going into the Ravens rematch, Armageddon 2. I'm going to have to think of a catchy subtitle for that. It still might be The Quest Without Ben, definitely, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost what we got coming up Sunday is quarters 5, 6, 7, and 8 of a 12-quarter game.
Right.
It's going to be the same stuff, you know, wrestling between the goal lines. It's going to be hard to bust loose, hard to get anything.
Low scoring, you think?
Yeah, I do.
Did you check that forecast for Cleveland, too?
I did not.
Get some snow on it's going to be rainy on Friday. I'll get some temperatures drop a little bit. Get a little bit of snow showers. The temperature, though, is going to remain in the mid to high 30s, so it shouldn't be a lot of sticking on the ground. Sunday's supposed to be clear, but you never know if the front comes through a little later.
Wind blowing off the lake.
Or the rivers, you know, whatever that is they have there. I'll have to call Bubby and ask him. So, yeah, I think it'll be low scoring as well. Hopefully it gets accomplished in regulation time, whatever it is, it is. I'm getting tired of overtime games. Okay, I got to now since it's Thanksgiving Day, let's go down the lineup here.
Okay.
Houston, Detroit.
Houston. I think a little bit of a wake-up call for the Texans against Jacksonville, having to rally from a couple scores down to force overtime at home against that team. I know it's a short week for the Texans, but I think they're going to want to reestablish their national identity and take advantage of the Lions while doing so.
The Lions, just from a pure me sitting on my couch watching the game standpoint, I'm hoping the Lions make it competitive. They're kind of up against the wall in terms of any playoff possibility / reality. So I think the Lions will play with a little desperation. I do think Houston is the better football team. Then you got, I remember when I was a kid, one of the greatest Thanksgiving Day games I ever saw was the Clint Longley Dallas Redskins game, a reprisal of that RG3 against Tony Romo. What do you think there?
You know, Dallas is the NFC equivalent of Cincinnati and then some. It's just an impossible team to figure out. I've seen the Cowboys a lot this year just in studying Steelers opponents. And offensive line stinks. The running game's been almost non-existent.
Those couple of games DeMarco Murray was healthy.
I was going to say since he got hurt.
Yeah.
Tony Romo can be really good for long stretches, really creative and resourceful and accurate. And then he can just do things that
– Tom Zach-esque.
Yeah, the second part, not – I don't think Mike Tomczyk was ever. Tony Romo is when he's humming, but
no, right?
Yeah,
no,
I'm talking about just here's the ball.
Yeah, right.
Out and drop,
yeah, right.
You know, for no reason.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant is a monster talent, and he's a train wreck. He's as likely to catch a pass and step out of bounds backwards 1 yard short of the stick as he is to break a big gainer. I think defensively they're pretty good. Secondary's a little weak, but. Mr. Ware can come off that edge.
Can he not?
And that's something you got to deal with.
And then the nightcap, if the tryptophan hasn't gotten to us, New England against the football Jets.
I'm actually hoping a bridge too far or something like that will be on the military channel by then.
Spygate 10. That's one of those games where it's pretty tough to root for New England. But based on the Steelers trying to make the playoffs as a wild card, you almost kind of have to because you don't want anybody else. You know, you'd like to keep all of those 4-6 teams, you know, down.
No one spent a whole lot of time looking in my rearview mirror for the New York Jets. And I'm just – beyond that, I'm tired of the Jets. You hear too much about the Jets. You hear too much about their backup quarterback. You hear too much about their coach. Hey, guys, do something before I have to endure all this. Would you please?
I got nothing to add to that. And
so
on that note.
Hello, Military Channel. History Channel. Maybe there's something about Lincoln. Maybe let's see
AMC.
The movie's out.
Hope that AMC is doing one of those
Daniel Day-Lewis
Godfather weekends.
Not to be confused with Keenan Ivory Lewis,
who was actually playing extremely well. That'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.